Hello and welcome to today's edition of the Baptist Bible Hour with LaSayre Bradley Jr. I'm Thomas Mann, inviting you to stay tuned for another message from God's Word.
This is LaSayre Bradley Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour. I'm glad you've joined us today. I hope you'll tell others about this program where they can hear messages on a daily basis from God's Word. As I mentioned yesterday, we're going back now to our series on the Gospel of John. We'd interrupted that while we were bringing messages that we thought were particularly applicable to the challenges that all are facing during the time of the coronavirus. And certainly we believe that all of God's Word is profitable, so we're going back to this series in the Gospel of John and pray that it will be a blessing to you. I encourage you to write us. I'd like to send you a sample copy of our publication, The Baptist Witnesses. There are articles in it pertaining to this time of crisis that I think will be a blessing to you. Our address is The Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. It's beautiful to observe the compassion shown by Jesus Christ throughout his ministry. We see him opening the eyes of the blind, blessing the lame to walk, reaching out to sinners, the outcast of society, but speaking words of hope to them, bringing salvation to repentant sinners. And indeed, he was compassionate with his own disciples. We read of how many times they jumped to conclusions, how many times they misunderstood what Jesus had said, how many times they were distracted, sidetracked, arguing about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom, even as the time of Jesus' death was rapidly approaching. Do you know, when we read about those disciples, seeing their many faults and failings, do we not see ourselves in it as well? How many times have we misunderstood? How many times have we jumped to conclusions? How many times have we been sidetracked with some interest other than that which would concern the glory and honor of our Savior, Jesus Christ? In John chapter 13, verse 1, it says, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. In spite of all of their imperfections, he loved them. And then he informed them that the time had come that he would be going away. They had attempted to take him on numerous occasions. The authorities sent soldiers to arrest him, and they were unable to do it because his time had not yet come. And now he said, I'm going away. And their hearts are heavy. It was shocking when he said, one of my disciples is going to betray me. And another is going to deny me. So considering the information to which they had recently been exposed, we can understand how the disciples were very heavy in their hearts. And Jesus knew that. And he addresses the situation. And so in chapter 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. But Jesus is straightforward, telling his disciples what they must expect. He doesn't try to cover it up and make it appear that the Christian life is going to be one of ease, that there are going to be no conflicts and no difficulties and obstacles. There are those today who promise that kind of a life if a person will just believe that all of their sicknesses will be healed, all of their difficulties will be removed. Jesus never promised that. He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. So not only has he given them these words of consolation, he has told them that they're going to be hated by the world. Just like Jesus himself was hated, you as my followers are going to be hated and persecuted. So as we come today to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, looking at verses 26 and 27, we see that Jesus continues to speak comforting words to his disciples. In chapter 14, he spoke twice of the coming of the Holy Spirit called the Comforter. And now he refers again to the Comforter who will come from the Father. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Sometimes a person will refer to the Holy Spirit as it rather than he. He is a person, and we must think of him as such. In Romans chapter 8, verse 27, reference is made to the mind of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, it speaks of the will of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it speaks of the feelings or the emotions of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the triune Godhead. And Jesus says here, now for the third time, the Comforter will come. So first, as we look at this passage, we want to consider the Comforter sent. We see in this also the unity of the Godhead, because according to this 26th verse, he will be sent by Jesus. When Jesus has arisen from the dead and ascended back to glory and is with the Father, he will send him. But back in John 14, 26, it says that the Father would send him. And here in the 26th verse of this chapter, it said that the Spirit proceeds from the Father, which indicates that he comes willingly. He's not sent on a mission that he is resisting. There is unity in the Godhead. We find this same reference in other matters. And it talks about drawing one to Jesus Christ. There is reference to the Father drawing them, reference to the Son drawing them, reference to the Spirit drawing them. And Jesus constantly made it clear that he came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. And so there is harmony, there is unity in the will of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called here in the Gospel of John the Comforter. They certainly needed comfort. They could not imagine what life would be like without Jesus. They'd spent 3.5 years with him. They'd left their homes, their occupations, and spent all of their time with Jesus. They'd seen his miracles. They'd heard his messages. They had received the private teaching when he spoke just to them. What was it going to be like? And now he has informed them that persecution is coming, and they need comfort considering that. Verse 20 of this 15th chapter, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, which we know in fact they did, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my word, they will keep yours also. Then in chapter 16 of the second verse, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. They're not only going to hate you, they're going to persecute you even unto death. These individuals are in such darkness that they will assume they are serving God, honoring God, by putting you to death. So as Jesus gives them instruction about the realities of what they will encounter, we can understand why there is a somber spirit that prevails, deep anguish of heart. Now, the Comforter, though, he said, will come. And the Comforter gives comfort through the Word. Of course, not all of the Scripture had been written at this time, because some of these men would be writing it days hence. But they certainly had the Old Testament Scriptures, and as the Holy Spirit would apply the promises of God, they would find comfort. Now, in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." When you come then to recognize that the persecutions that God's people will endure, the suffering through which they will pass at various times, is not something that's out of God's control. It's not some terrible plight that has befallen them and God is far removed from it. He said, it is given you to suffer. It is within the scope of God's sovereign purpose that his people from time to time will suffer. By their suffering, by their persecution, by their martyrdom, his name will be honored. Look at another passage confirming it. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. You're being informed in advance. When you're opposed by the world, when you're hated by the world, when you're rejected by the world, when you're persecuted by the world, this is not some strange thing. This is not something that wasn't anticipated. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Now, this is one of the many paradoxes of the Christian experience. What should be our response if we're being persecuted? Well, somebody may say, "Preacher, I don't even like to think about that. I don't know that I could hold up under it. I don't know that I could maintain my testimony if I was threatened and told that I must deny the faith or suffer torture or suffer death. I'm afraid I would give in." But here he says that when persecution comes, you should be exceedingly glad, because you're being identified with Jesus Christ. You're a partaker of his sufferings. "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." Now, I'm confident that none of us here in this comfortable meeting house today could say, "I can imagine that if I was arrested, and if I was told that if I did not deny Jesus Christ, I was going to be tortured, or I was going to be burned at the stake," we'd readily have to admit, "I don't think I could handle it." But the fact is, the Lord has promised to be with his people during their persecutions. There is much persecution going on among Christians around the world today. Individuals have been put to death. Groups of people have been put to death. There have been cases of churches assembled and the building being set on fire and several hundreds of people being killed. We're thankful for the freedom that we enjoy in America, but we have no absolute guarantee that it will always be here. Persecutions that are being suffered by Christians in other parts of the world could be suffered here. So we need to be aware of it. The Scriptures inform us that if we are standing firm for the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will have opposition. Persecution will come. The Comforter gives the help that we need by giving us strength to be able to stand firm in the midst of our trials. He is the helper. The original word is paraclete, and it carries the meaning of comforter, advocate, counselor, helper. All of this, you see, many times the original language is complex, and there are meanings within a word that cannot be directly translated into English. The meaning is too diverse. And so when we're thinking about the comfort of the Holy Spirit, we can think of him as the advocate, one who is the advocate of the name Jesus Christ, because he comes to call attention to him and to honor his name. He is the counselor, because we turn to him for direction, for guidance, for understanding of the scriptures, that we may have the counsel necessary. He is our helper. It indicates that it is one who comes alongside of another to help. And he is at the side of those that are persecuted. Back in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 11, these are the words of Jesus. But when they shall lead you and deliver you, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. He says, at the time comes that you're arrested, you're brought before the authorities, you don't even have to think ahead of time what you're going to say, because it'll be given you by the Holy Ghost. I've heard some far-fetched interpretations of that text. Somebody suggested at one point that that certainly means that preachers don't need to prepare in advance their message, that if they just get in the pulpit, it'll be giving them what to say. Well, I've heard some of those messages, and I didn't think they had come from the Holy Spirit. This is talking about something specific. In the time of persecution, in the time when you are facing suffering and even death, imprisonment, whatever it may be, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. So Jesus is giving his disciples encouragement. He understands the stress they're under. He understands what they're facing and how they are troubled. And the same is true for us in all of our spiritual battles. He is our helper, the source of our strength, making us more than conquerors. He is the Spirit of truth, as he's here described. He inspired men to write the scriptures. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God. It is truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. We turn to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the prophecies of old times, the Old Testament scriptures, came as men were moved by the Holy Ghost. He is the Spirit of truth. He inspired then the men who wrote the New Testament. So we have a book upon which we can rely. It is authoritative. It is the truth of God. It is not just a collection of men's opinions. It is the message that God has given us. It is reliable, and we should receive its message. Not only did the Holy Spirit inspire men to write it, but it's by the blessing of the Holy Spirit that any can come to understand it. We look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Simply stated, it is that by the natural eye, we don't see. By our natural ear, we don't hear. By our own instinct, out of our heart, we don't understand the things that are prepared of God. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Man doesn't of himself know and understand the things of God. There are people who are very free to express their personal opinion and say, this is what is right to me. This is the way I understand it. This is the way I see it. But the fact is that man in and of himself does not know, understand, or perceive the things of God. It must be given us by the blessing of the Holy Spirit through the word that the Spirit has inspired. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. How are you going to know them? By the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He is the Spirit of truth. And then secondly, we observe here the witness given. He said that the apostles would bear witness because they had been with him from the beginning. They were qualified to give testimony concerning Jesus Christ. And we find this in the first epistle of John, confirming the fact that they were eyewitnesses. So when we're talking to you today about Jesus Christ and what happened concerning his life, death, and burial, his resurrection, we're able to quote people who were there, who heard his voice, who witnessed his miracles, who saw him after he came out of the grave. We're talking about an eyewitness account. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. Remember back in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So now they say, we have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. The apostles now are giving testimony, eyewitness accounts of what they had experienced and what they had seen in Jesus Christ. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. If there's a case in court, and somebody is called as a witness, and they say, well, here's what I think happened. The judge will discount that testimony. Don't want to hear what somebody thinks might have happened. But if a person is on the stand, here is an eyewitness. I was there. I saw it. This is what occurred. That testimony is received. That means something. So what we have is a testimony given by those that were eyewitnesses. They were there. It said then that when Jesus went away, his disciples would be his witnesses, and the Spirit would teach them. Jesus had been teaching them, but now the Holy Spirit is going to teach them. Back in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 26, one of the passages where he is referred to as the Comforter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. His work then was to teach them, and they were going to be taught by bringing to their remembrance, bringing to their mind the things that Jesus had already taught. How easy it is for us to forget. You read a portion of Scripture, it comforts your heart. You rejoice in it. You say, I'll never forget that. And then time goes on and it slips away. You hear a sermon, say, the Lord spoke to me in that. Maybe later you're telling somebody, I heard a wonderful sermon. And they say, well, tell me about it. Well, right now I can't remember what it was, but I know it was good. I really enjoyed it at the time. Well, you need some help. And the Holy Spirit teaches us and brings to our mind, as we call upon him, the things that we have heard and the things that we have been taught. The Holy Spirit would guide them in giving glory to Jesus. John 16, the 13th verse.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Spirit of God would glorify Jesus Christ. The Spirit would testify of Jesus through the apostles.
And we need to pause right there today in this message by LaSere Bradley Jr. entitled The Testimony of the Spirit. And if you can come back again tomorrow, LaSere will be looking at some specific examples or evidences in Scripture of the ways in which the Holy Spirit points to Jesus Christ. Well, if you would like to hear this message again, it is available on CD, the entire material from both days on a single audio CD. It's yours free when you ask for it by title, The Testimony of the Spirit. You can ask about that when you write The Baptist Bible Hour, Post Office Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. If you're able to enclose a donation toward the support of the program, of course, that will be greatly appreciated. Your donation is tax deductible and, of course, is one of the ways in which God keeps the program here on the station. Once again, that address is P.O. Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. Or you can take care of these details by phone if you prefer. Dial toll-free 1-800-473-4BBH. Have your Visa or MasterCard ready if you plan to place an order or make a donation toward the support of the program. Again, at 1-800-473-4BBH. And of course, all of these matters can be attended to online as well. Simply go to our website at baptistbiblehour.org. There you'll find a host of resources available, including our online catalog. You can sign up for our free monthly Grace Mail. That's an e-newsletter that comes to your box each month, again, free of charge, as well as download our free app for the daily devotional right to your smartphone. Again, all of that at baptistbiblehour.org. Well, that does conclude our time together for today. I'm Thomas Mann, inviting you back again next time when LaSere Bradley Jr. brings another Bible-based message on the Baptist Bible Hour.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. Praising my Savior.